Australia may just have sidestepped another recession by the skin of its teeth after recording a small uptick in our GDP growth over the June quarter. After an initial miracle, what seemed like a V-shaped recovery, our economy did a U-turn as much of Australia's been locked down over the last couple of months. And economists seem united that the outcome of the current quarter, the September quarter, we're going to see a steep drop in economic output. So what's ahead for our economy and what does that mean for our property markets? That's what I'm going to be chatting about today with Australia's leading housing economist, Dr. Andrew Wilson. And you'll hear him give six reasons why we're optimistic about the economy moving forward. You'll also hear why we won't have that miraculous V-shaped recovery many were expecting. Now, if you're a subscriber to this podcast for a while, or if you've been following my blogs or my YouTube videos, you know that for well over 3 years, I've recorded a weekly Property Insider video chat with Dr. Andrew Wilson. And his assessment of, and his forecast for our economy and our property markets, well, they've been remarkably accurate. So whether you're just a beginner or an experienced property investor, I'm sure you're going to benefit from my chat with Andrew today. It's actually the audio of one of our recent Property Insider videos. Now, you don't have to watch the video, but I'll leave your link in the show notes if you want to see some of the charts that support the information we're going to talk about. But in general, that won't be necessary. Andrew explains his position well. And I'm also going to be sharing with you my regular mindset message, where I'm going to discuss five common money mistakes I'm seeing many people make. And even if you are good at managing your money, I'm sure there's going to be something you're going to get out of that session as well. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
There will be a lot written in our history books about the coronavirus pandemic, how the world changed, how we live, and the economic fallout that resulted from it. Last year, there were a lot of letters tossed about the shape of the economic recovery, you know, from the short, sharp recession Australia experienced. Would it be a U-shape, a V-shape, a W-shape recovery? There was even talk of a Nike swoosh-shape recovery. Well, the recession we had last year, it wasn't a normal recession. Government lockdowns and the fear of getting sick kept consumers home, while the shutdown of supply chains, shortage of workers, the inability to source inputs, the sudden fall of international tourism, students and migrants, they all devastated certain businesses. Then all of a sudden, it looked like we experienced a V-shape recovery, marked by a steep, dramatic decline in the economic activity in the middle of last year, you know, the first half of the V, followed by an equally rapid upturn to pre-recession levels, the second half of the V. But just look what's happened over the last few months, with half Australia in lockdown at the time when the government support measures, those that we enjoyed last year, aren't there anymore. So what's next for Australia's economy? Are we going to fall in recession again? And what's all that going to mean for our property markets? These are some of the questions I'm going to be asking leading Australian housing economist Dr. Andrew Wilson, chief economist of My Housing Market, in this week's Property Insider Chat. Hi, Andrew.
So hello, Michael, and I'm trying to figure out an appropriate letter or symbol for our prospective dip in recovery following, fingers crossed, the end of the current shutdown issues. I'll just have a bit of a think about that one.
Well, I've even heard of a K-shape recovery, Andrew, because we'll have a two-speed market moving forward. There'll be jobs in the public sector and in big business, and the small businesses are going to be suffering more, and Australians will be suffering. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, but I mean, all economies don't run at the same speed. I mean, when you drill down, there's always winners and losers and top performers and not so top performers. So that's getting very complex when we start to look at that. But I am probably in favour of the swoosh. I think it'll be pretty similar to the swoosh for various reasons we can discuss.
We talked about a V-shaped recovery, and really, if we're talking about recessions, really, we're talking about two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. But if we forget the technical discussion, our economy is slowing down at the moment. We're locked down, jobs are not being created as much. A lot of people are needing to get a second job and small businesses are closing down. What are you seeing ahead for our economy?
Well, we haven't really got any real-time insights, particularly in terms of the economic numbers, Michael. Our latest unemployment data, of course, was for July. And unemployment can tend to be a lagging indicator anyway, because obviously, although in these circumstances with lockdown, it's likely to be a bit more reflective of what is actually happening. But I think, look, we've got a number of points that we should make. Just discussing those unemployment rates, the latest unemployment rate was at 4.6%, which is a remarkable number. We're at 10-year lows in terms of the unemployment rate. We've also got a very strong participation rate, just down from its record highs of recent months. So it's not as though we get low unemployment because people have abandoned the labour market. We're getting near record numbers of participation in the workforce, and we're still getting a sharply lower unemployment rate. So it does show that the economy is strong in that sense. Of course, if we do want to look a little deeper into the numbers, we do know that hours worked is a little low. So people aren't getting as much work as they would like to get. But nonetheless, the raw numbers, the headline numbers are reflecting a very strong economy. And the big point is, Michael, when we're talking about the outlook, is when we compare it to where we were prior to lockdown last year. And of course, the unemployment rate was then over 5%. And it had been consistently over 5%, which was of a concern to the Reserve Bank. And that's why they were, in, regardless of COVID, in interest cutting mode because of that stubbornly high unemployment rate. So we're actually going to be starting our lockdown journey in a better position in terms of the labour market, a considerably better position. So I guess that's the first point. And if we do look at the latest GDP data, which of course was for the June quarter, Michael, we saw quite a strong result. We have been recovering from that recession last year. Of course, it really was a Clayton's recession. I think it's really stretching terminology to call it a recession. We were down by just 0.3% in the March quarter last year. And then, of course, we collapsed within lockdown by 7% over the June quarter. And then we've just come roaring back since then. And I guess the June quarter, to some degree, was a normalised quarter for the economy. And to increase by 0.7% was actually higher than where we had been tracking prior to COVID. So our economy was actually performing better in the most recent quarter compared to where we were in the pre-COVID position prior to autumn last year. So a much better position in terms of the labour market, the economy stronger over the most recent quarter. So that says that we're in a better position to address these issues that we will have. Now, the other point through all of that is adaption. And I think our economy is clearly adapting to change and to the lockdown environment. And I think there's some good signs in terms of the mindset for the economy in regard to how we're addressing the current restrictions. And that's clearly the share market. Now, the share market collapsed, obviously considerable uncertainty last year when COVID hit and the lockdowns hit in March, April and May. But this time we've really sort of taken it in our stride. The share market has continued to grow. It's been a very steady performance this year, the share market. We do acknowledge that the Australian share market has been a real underperformer since the GFC. It really hasn't moved much and it's only just got back to those pre-GFC levels over the past year. So the share market is actually signalling that businesses are quite confident about recovery and dealing with the current lockdown environment. The Australian dollar, I think, is also another signpost for being in a better position to address the lockdown issues currently. The Australian dollar, of course, fell quite sharply during lockdown last year. It has recovered, and at one point it was very strong, up above 80% just, which reflected our strong economic recovery, and also a weaker US dollar was an influence of that recent high dollar. Our dollar has fallen away over the last month, Michael, and I think initially that was a reaction from international investors to the New South Wales lockdown. Also, we've had a little weakness in our export sector. Iron ore prices have fallen, and there's some sense that volumes might also fall as well. But over the last 2 weeks, Michael, when I guess we've crystallised, particularly in New South Wales, the move to a more of an open position on controlling COVID, in other words, moving away from lockdown and sort of living with the virus type of policy positions, we've seen our dollar start to recover as well. So I think that's another positive sign that there's more optimism in regard to the outlook for the Australian economy through this current shutdown period. And I think that that's portends well for having a different scenario. It's not that V shape. I think it's going to be more like that swoosh shape. We certainly will be likely to have a negative quarter of growth over September. I'm not sure we'll get that 7% decline that we had last year. I think that was just a real once off. And there was a lot of fear involved in that particular outcome. But I do think that we're in a position again to be able to build quite quickly on whatever negative results we have over the September quarter moving into the December quarter. And just talking about the share market as well, Michael, we've had quite a good profit season for Australian companies. And what we are starting to see now is companies are now starting to pay dividends and reports of up to $40 billion in dividends to be distributed to shareholders as a result of the positive reporting outcomes. Again, that's money moving back into the economy, into shareholders' pockets. And again, I think that's another positive driver of recovery through what will be obviously a tough period. And of course, when we get back to our favourite topic, which is the housing market, housing markets have also been resilient through this particular lockdown period compared to last year's lockdowns, particularly the Sydney market, which just keeps on keeping on. Again, I think that's part of the adaption process of buyers and sellers and the market. But I do think there's a realisation also that once the lockdown restrictions are eased, then we will get release of that pent-up demand as we saw last year, and that markets will, in terms of volumes anyway, will move back to where they were in the pre-COVID position. Melbourne's the exception here because its real estate restrictions are certainly a lot more severe than those in Sydney. But again, I think all that does is it just builds the wall until the wall is broken, and then all that built up buyer energy and seller energy is released. And I think we'll see that happen in Melbourne. But it is always a question of releasing those physical restrictions in property to inspection. But I think we are in a different environment compared to last year in terms of our economy. There are more positives. And the most positive thing is that we are positive, and that means that we can be a lot more confident. And confidence is the key in any economy. I think one of the other points we saw with the latest retail sales data, which has started to come back a little bit, but it's still well and truly above the levels pre-COVID. And that's been one of the remarkable parts of the economy, has been the way retail sales has stood up and maintained a much stronger position than pre-COVID, even though it's easy now. And if we just sort of finish off in terms of property, we've still got a lot of activity in the pipeline as a result of the home builder policy, which has been a real success for the economy. And that has yet to work its way through the economy in a significant fashion. Contracts have been signed, but we've still got a backlog of on-the-ground work to be conducted. In fact, the big problem with home building, which is booming in most capital cities, is that costs for materials and labour are rising steeply because of all that demand. So again, we've still got that to work its way into the economy once we get past restrictions. So I think we've got a lot more reasons to be not looking at a V shape, but more of that sort of whoosh, swoosh, Nike, whatever it is, shape recovery. Maybe we have to look at the Greek alphabet to find an appropriate symbol for this recovery.
Well, another positive really is that Australians in general are richer than ever. Now, this isn't taking away from those who suffered with their health or lost jobs. No, a lot of people have. But the latest data shows household savings ratios are still very high. They've dropped a little bit. But Australians have got a war chest. They've got $1.25 trillion in cash saved that they put aside just in case things would go wrong. That means, in my mind, that when we let out of our COVID cocoons, we're going to be keen to spend it, Andrew.
Yeah, and look, perhaps that reflects those lower retail sales numbers over the past couple of months, that people aren't spending as much at the moment, moving back into lockdown. And as you said, savings ratios are elevated. And that means that once restrictions are eased, then we'll start to see those retail sales numbers rising again back to where they were. They're still quite strong, make no mistake, but they have fallen over recent months. And probably no coincidence that we see the savings ratio rising against that because people are saving and not spending.
Well, you're right. Spending's gone down. Last month saw credit card spending plummet 11.4%. But it's also shown that a lot of people have paid down their credit card debts. The Australians have paid down $1.1 billion from their credit card debt in the single month of July. Again, that puts us in a good position, a safe position. And with the wealth of Australians increasing because the wealth of their houses has and their financial assets and their share market and the superannuation fund, as we said, it puts us in a good position moving forward when we eventually get out of this.
Yeah, well, that's right, Michael. And look, things change and it's always a mistake to be overly focused on looking in the rear vision mirror to understand or to predict what's going to happen going forward. But we're in a different environment now. We actually know that, and the government has said this, that we are facing the end now of the continuous lockdown environment that we've had to try to control the virus, that we're now going to live with it. And it's a matter of getting those vaccination rates up. So again, that has to work its way into positivity for the economy generally.
That's good. Let's have a quick look at what's happened to our property markets. And in the past, we saw the auction markets as a good in-time indicator of what's happening in our markets. Now, they're not as good an indicator considering the number of properties put to auction aren't as high. And in Melbourne, in fact, you can't even inspect property. But boy, have the auction markets remained resilient in this spring season.
Yeah, look, they're certainly performing better than during lockdown last year, Michael. Melbourne will always be restricted, as you suggested, because there are no physical inspections. We've seen auction numbers collapse in Melbourne over the past month. Auction numbers really are reflecting what decisions were made a month ago or 6 weeks ago. So they are a little bit backward in terms of listing numbers. And that's another point to our, I guess, the big picture is that our property market's continuing to produce reasonable results given the circumstances. And it is all about just holding back that demand from both buyers and sellers. It is all about lockdown in the auction market. But again, just sort of following the theme that we started with, Michael, I think there are certainly a more positive outlook reflecting what's happening in our property markets generally compared to during the lockdown periods last year.
Well, to finish off, Andrew, something interesting came across my desk, my outlook this morning, some new research by Canstar that found Australians are more willing to commit to buying a home sight unseen than they are to buy a pet sight unseen. 11% of Australians said they'd be willing to, even as an owner-occupier or an investor, buy a property without viewing it in person, but only 8% of them would be prepared to buy a pet that way.
Yeah, well, that probably is one of the big changes in lockdown. We're adapted to the property market, but probably it says the same thing that we're becoming more and more focused on our best friends now in that lockdown environment, which, of course, are our pets. And isn't that interesting?
Okay, so good news ahead, more green shoots ahead, and look forward to catching up with you again next week and discussing what's happening in our markets.
Thanks, Michael.
In a moment, I'm going to share my mindset message with you where I'm going to discuss five money mistakes I'm seeing a lot of people make, and not just inexperienced people. So whether you're good with your money or not, I bet you're going to get some benefit from it. But before I do, I'd just like to follow on with my chat with Dr. Andrew Wilson a moment ago. If you, like we, agree that we're going to get through these challenging times and life will be normal again and our property markets are going to continue surging, if you're wanting to set yourself up to take advantage of that, now's a really good time to get all your ducks in a row. And the markets are moving to the next stage of our property cycle. But just to be blunt, not all properties are going to increase in value. The markets are moving on, but the rising tide doesn't lift all ships, or not all to the same degree. So now more than ever, correct property selection is critical. But it's actually a lot more than that if you want to become a successful property investor. It's times like this that you need a holistic approach to your wealth creation, and that's what my team at Metropole does. Why not go to metropole.com.au and find out about our range of services? It always starts with putting a strategic property plan together for you. We give you the advice that you need by bringing your future into the present so you can do something about it now. And then you may choose to use our buyer's agency, our wealth advisory services, renovations, development, property management, business advisory. There's a range of services that you may choose to use some or all of, but we first of all discuss what your options are. And remember, we've got no properties for sale. Go to metropole.com.au and I'd love to be part of your ongoing wealth creation journey.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
I'd like to spend a couple of minutes speaking to you about the top five financial mistakes I see many people making. Maybe you're making some of these too. Because you see, becoming financially free is about your habits. It's not about getting lucky at the casino one night or a spectacular financial investment that happened to go your way or just buying at the beginning of a property boom and making money. It's about making good decisions day in, day out, and continuing to make those decisions over a long period of time until they become a habit. Once you commit to becoming financially free and wealthy, you see it as a lifelong way of behaving and thinking rather than something you just managed to pull off. This means following a few rules on what we allow ourselves to think and what we allow ourselves to dwell upon. Now, these can differ from person to person, depending upon what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, but each of us should be guided by a few ideas on how we stay on track. Now, on this list, there probably should be things you do every day, like doing exercise, like learning something new, but there should also be things on the list that you don't do. So what could these be? Well, the ones I want to talk to you about today, the ones to do with mindset. There are a handful of mindsets that people adopt that take up a lot of their time and energy and keep them from achieving their dreams. It holds them back because it stops people from getting wealthy. So if you can avoid adopting any of the following five mindsets I'm just about to share with you, they're common, by the way, too, you're already going to be ahead of the game. So the first one I want you to avoid is relying on a wage to get you wealthy. If you're like most people, you were taught by your parents to get a good education, get a good job, buy a house, pay it off, get a good salary. Now, don't get me wrong, a wage, a salary, it's important. You need cash flow. It provides the roof over your head. It gives you food on the table. So I'm not dismissing that, but you won't get ahead. You won't truly get ahead by working for somebody else. Now, I've often said that unless your money is making money for you while you're asleep, unless your investments are your businesses, you're never going to become wealthy. So you look at it in all areas too, the tech innovators, they worked for themselves. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got to become an entrepreneur. Of course, you can still work for somebody while building a property investment business on the side. That's what a lot of Australians do. And you keep doing it until you can afford to toss in the 9-to-5. One thing's for certain, you need to drop the wage mindset and think like a business person, think like an entrepreneur. The second mindset you have to give up is thinking investing is too hard. Look, nothing in life comes easy, and you don't need to have worked in the finance or property industry for 40 years to make good investments. What you need to do is get good advisors. You need to get a good team around you and you can stand on their shoulders and you can go much further. You need to work hard. You've got to be resilient. You've got to be focused. But don't be fooled when people tell you that it's just too hard to invest. That's simply a cop-out. It's what others are telling themselves because they haven't got the courage to do it. You see, everything that's easy today was once hard. In fact, I remember the first investment book I bought many years ago, it would have been close to 40 years ago, was called The Courage to Be Rich. I didn't understand it. I knew I wanted it. I couldn't understand why people needed courage. So myth number two, mindset number two you've got to avoid is thinking investing is too hard. Mindset number three to avoid is thinking that it's money that's causing your problems. Now, that's a big one for many people. They've had some setbacks. They walk away from investing altogether and they decide, look, all this money stuff, it's not for me, this investing stuff, it's not for me. What they don't understand, that money is for them, it's for everybody, and it's just what money represents to them that's the problem. Their own failure, things that haven't actually worked. But failure is a good thing, and money shouldn't be feared, shouldn't intimidate you. It's merely a means to an end, which is having a financially free life to choose to do what you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with chasing that. Now, you've heard me speak about it often before. True wealth isn't just about how many properties you've got or how much money you've got, but there's no doubt that having money helps get rid of a lot of your troubles. I'd much rather drive up to my problems in a Mercedes than in a Hyundai. Having said that, any problem that money can solve isn't really a problem anyway, is it? Okay, mindset number three you've got to get rid of, thinking you don't deserve it. Now, this is something I see so often. People will never tell it to you outright. They won't say that they don't think they deserve to make money. But they'll show you they think this in many other ways. You're going to be self-sabotaging by blowing their money, by not committing to saving, by not chasing their dreams. They don't prioritize wealth because they think, deep down, they think it's never going to happen to them. They think like a poor person who's always going to remain poor rather than the person who's on their way to achieving wealth. Half the battle in becoming rich is giving yourself permission to be wealthy. Mindset number five that you have to get rid of is being afraid of making a mistake. Now, this is a big one for many people. Mistakes aren't bad things. Never. And yet we fear them. We fear making them. It's debilitating for many people. They're so afraid of messing up that they'd rather not even try. How sad is that? After all, this isn't a dress rehearsal and we've only got one chance in life to do what we really want to do. And it's just the way it is. Mistakes are a part of life. And the more you aim for, the more mistakes you're going to make. But the only true failure, in life, I guess, is never letting yourself make a mistake. So don't compare your success or failure to anyone else's. Don't compare your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 12. Can you see how damaging that sort of mindset could be? Yet these mindsets I'm just discussing with you, the five mindsets I just shared with you, they're very common. So ask yourself, have you ever fallen into one of the above mindsets? I bet it's held you back. But the good news is there's always time to change them. Money doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care who owns it. So why not have your share? I hope you got some benefit from my chat with Andrew Wilson and my mindset message about the common money mistakes. And if you did, and if you know somebody else who you think would benefit as well because they're interested in property or money or success, why not tell them about the Michael Yardley podcast? That's the greatest compliment you could give me. It's even better than leaving a review, but if you left a review, I'd be thrilled about that as well. Now, you can catch me again twice a week, but catch me in between on social media. Just look for Michael Yardley. But between now and then, if you want some extra information about property and a bundle of books and reports, go to podcastbonus.com.au, podcastbonus.com.au, and you can get a bundle of ebooks as my gift, my way of saying thank you for listening to this podcast. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?